Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 14, the three modes of eternal nature, text number 16. Karmana sukritasya hu satvikam nirmalam palam rajasas tupalam dukam agyanam tamasapalam. Karmana, of work, sukritasya, pious, ahu, is said, satvikam, in the mode of goodness, nirmalam, purified, palam, the result, rajasa, of the mode of passion, to, but, phalam, the result, dukkham, misery, agyanam, nonsense, tamasa, of the mode of ignorance, phalam, the result. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada. The result of pious action is pure, is said to be in the mode of goodness, but action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. Purport. The longest purport of the whole chapter. The result of pious action activities in the mode of goodness is pure. Therefore, the sages who are free from all illusion are situated in happiness. But activities in the mode of passion are simply miserable. Any activity for material happiness is bound to be defeated. If, for example, one wants to have a skyscraper, so much human misery has to be undergone before a big skyscraper can be built. The financier has to take much trouble to earn a massive wealth, and those who are slaving to construct the building have to render physical toil. The miseries are there. As Bhagavad Gita says, that any activity performed under the spell of the mode of passion, there is definitely great misery. There may be a little so-called mental happiness. I have this house or this money, but this is not actual happiness. As far as the mode of ignorance is concerned, the former is without knowledge, and therefore all his activities result in present misery, and afterwards he'll go on toward animal life. Animal life is always miserable. Although under the spell of the illusory energy, Maya, the animals do not understand this. Slaughtering poor animals is also due to the mode of ignorance. The animal killers do not know that in the future the animal will have a body suitable to kill them. That is the law of nature. In human society, if one kills a man, he has to be hanged. That is the law of the state. Because of ignorance, people do not perceive that there is a complete state controlled by the Supreme Lord. Every living creature is the son of the Supreme Lord, and he does not tolerate even an ant's being killed. One has to pay for it. So indulgence in animal killing for the taste of the tongue is the grossest kind of ignorance. A human being has no need to kill animals, because God has supplied so many nice things. If one indulges in meat eating anyway, it's to be understood that he is acting in ignorance and is making his future very dark. Of all kinds of animal killing, the killing of cows is the most vicious, because the cow gives us all kinds of pleasure by supplying milk. Cow slaughter is an act of the grossest type of ignorance. In the Vedic literature, Rig Veda, the words gobi pranita matsaram indicate that one who, being fully satisfied by milk, desires of killing the cow is in the grossest ignorance. The There's also a prayer in the Vedic literature that states, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and the Brahmanas. You are the well-wisher of the entire human society in the world. Vishnu Purana. The purport is that special mention is given in the prayers for the protection of the cows and the Brahmanas. Brahmanas are the symbol of spiritual education, and cows are the symbol of the most valuable food. These two living creatures, the Brahmanas and the cows, must be given all protection. That is real advancement of civilization. In modern human society, spiritual knowledge is neglected and cow killing is encouraged. As we understood then, that human society is advancing in the wrong direction and is clearing the path to its own condemnation. A civilization which guides the citizens to become animals in their next lives is certainly not a human civilization. The present human civilization is, of course, grossly misled by the modes of passion and ignorance. It is a very dangerous age, and all nations should take care to provide the easiest process, Krishna consciousness, to save humanity from the greatest danger. Karmana sukritasyahu satvikam nirmalam palam rajasastupalam dukam agyanam tamasapalam. The result of pious action is pure, is said to be in the mode of goodness, but action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness.
I keep mosquitoes.
What will happen to you?
Yes.
Well, you'll have to come back as a mosquito. You'll have to come back as a mosquito, and then whatever mosquito you're killing now will come back as a human being and they'll have to kill you. Depends. Of course, if you're just making a habit of killing mosquitoes, then you'll have to get the reaction. Of course, if the mosquito is attacking you, then that's, you're allowed to kill the mosquito because it's an aggressor.
How to judge? How to know?
What's that?
How to know what is what?
If the mosquito turns red, then it's an aggressor. So this is very difficult to understand in modern society, because modern society is in ignorance with a little bit of passion. It used to be a lot of passion, some ignorance, and a lot of ignorance, but now it's mostly ignorance. People have become more and more ignorant, and therefore they don't even know that they're not their body. Matter of fact, we have to keep on repeating it ourselves, that we're eternal spiritual beings, and that there's something called karma, the laws of karma. That it's not actually a joke, that we're actually responsible for everything we're doing, that even if we're walking on the street and we kill an ant, then we have to pay for it. It doesn't necessarily mean that because we step on one ant, then we're going to have to come back as an ant in our next lifetime. But we have the example of Sumika Muni. I think that was his name. He was... one time some thieves came and they took shelter in his house. And the king's men came and they arrested the thieves. And because it was in the Rishi's house, they also arrested the Rishi. And they were going to take a pole, a stick, and put it through his anus all the way up to his mouth. This is rather uncomfortable. There is one king named Dracula, Count Dracula. You've heard of Count Dracula? Yeah, he lived in Romania. He's an actual person. He lived in Romania. He's a national hero, isn't he? Did you learn about Dracula in your class? What's that?
His name was Vlad Dracula.
Dracula, yeah. He was like a king or an emperor or something. So that's how he used to kill his victims, his political opponents. He'd take a pole and he'd stick it through their anus all the way up to through his mouth, like. And he'd have them hanging there and he'd make a toast to them. One time the Turks invaded his kingdom, tried to invade. He captured them and he stuck them all on these poles. And there were miles and miles of these Turks on the poles. And when the other army of the Turks came, they went for miles and miles seeing their companions stuck on the poles, and they got a little discouraged and went back home. You heard that story? So this Rishi, he was going to be stuck on this pole, and the king found out a Rishi was going to be killed that way. And he told his men not to do it. And so the Rishi was very disturbed. What did I do? I mean, these people are just coming here and they've come to my house and I had to pay this penalty. So he went to see Yamaraj to find out what's happening. Why am I being tortured like that? So Yamaraj said, in your youth, when you were a little boy, you took one blade of grass and you speared an ant with it. And therefore you had to pay that price. So he said, I was just a little boy, I didn't know. Just one little ant and you're having me. So he cursed Yamaraj to become a Shudra. That's why Vidura came. Of course, that was Krishna's arrangements, because Vidura got the opportunity to associate with Krishna and take a vacation before Kali Yuga really got into full swing. Because Yamaraj has to work overtime during Kali Yuga. And he doesn't get paid overtime. Because Kali Yuga is... I mean, you can imagine if you had to judge sinful people, you know, how many people are in line to get judged. So, you know, there's a whole big holdup, backup in Yamaloka, judging people to go to hell. And Kali Yuga. So the point is that everyone has to get a reaction. Of course, in Kali Yuga, that in previous yugas, if we just had a negative thought, we get a reaction for it. And if you had a positive thought, you get a good reaction for it. But in Kali Yuga, if you have a negative thought and you don't act on it completely, you don't get the full reaction. But if you have a positive thought, a pious thought, a Krishna conscious thought, then you get the credit for it. Still, one has to learn, still the laws of material nature work even in Kali Yuga, and people are unaware of it. That's why the whole society, very, very quickly, is going to the darkest regions of existence. Of course, it appears that just like when Duryodhana was here, along with all the other personalities who accompanied him, like Karna and others, that this was an arrangement of the Asuras. That the Asuras, they use this earthly planet as a fighting ground with the demigods. And therefore Duryodhana was actually sent by the Asuras to try to conquer the earth on behalf of the Asuras. Including Kamsa also. He was, of course we know Kamsa in his previous life was Kalanimi, and he was killed by Krishna during the fight between the demigods and the Asuras on the ocean of milk. And therefore he took birth here as Kamsa. Anyhow, the fight goes on, and it looks like the demigods are losing. That's why the Bhumi in the form of a cow went to the shore of the ocean, went to Brahma seeking his help because the whole earth was overburdened with the defense force of demoniac kings, including Kamsa and his associates, Agatsura, Putana, Bakasura, they were all part of his cabinet. The whole earth was filled with asuras, whether it was Jarasandha, Pundraka, whoever. They were just overwhelmed. And therefore, of course, Krishna came and killed them. But then we find Sringi, another demon, formerly Brahman, who was also killed and took birth as a Brahman on this earth planet, who cursed Pariksha Maharaj, and therefore the whole Kali Yuga, the whole degradation of during Kali Yuga of the Brahminical class and the Kshatriya class and the Vaishya class all took place. And therefore we can see that since some centuries, the leaders of society have more or less created unnecessary wars and pestilence and famine and everything in order to get rid of most of the population, degrade them. And therefore we find ourselves in a position now where practically everyone is in ignorance. Completely. In the sense that they think that actually the problem is outside of themselves. They don't realize that they're getting the reactions for their own personal activities, and they blame it on everyone else. They think the whole mood nowadays is I'm a victim of someone, some group, the Illuminati, whatever, the Rothschilds or whatever. They think they're just victims. They don't realize that these personalities are just giving them the reaction to their own sinful activities. And gradually their material opportunities are being taken away so that they don't do any more harm than they're already doing. We're just seeing the laws of material nature being worked out that Shudras, of which 99.99% of the people are not supposed to have any material resources because they'll misuse them. Therefore, they're given very minimum resources so that they don't cause too much harm. So now everyone is given so much resources and they're misusing it. In the form of, when Shudras are given resources, they misuse it in the form of taking intoxication. Know anyone who's ever taken any intoxication? No, you don't know anyone who ever took intoxication? Meat eating. You know anyone who eats meat? Animal killing. Illicit sex. The internet is very chaste. And, of course, gambling, mental speculation. Everyone, that's all they do all day long. The whole internet is just one big mental speculation. Education is speculation. Nothing about the eternal soul. They don't know about karma. They don't know who God is. They don't even know that there is a God. Nowadays, the leaders think that, practically speaking, the devil is God. The devil. God is the devil is God. They worship the devil. Satan. And therefore there's so much problems. So therefore the only solution is that people have to be raised, including ourselves. Because it's not that we're walking around as enlightened beings, so we realize that we're not even this body. What to speak of having 100% faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or that we're strictly utilizing everything in His service. So we ourselves have to educate ourselves, and therefore we'll have gained gradually the capacity to to actually, when we tell others that we're not our bodies, we might get a little bit more of an appreciation for it. If we ourselves understand and realize it. And if we realize that Krishna is God, then when we tell people that you should engage your energies in Krishna's service, they might be a little bit more receptive to it. And that's the only hope. Now, whatever happens, whatever our destiny is due to the laws of karma, that we have to face. But if we have done, if we've done devotional service, and we're actually trying to make advancement, then at least we'll come back and get another opportunity. But 90% of the people, or 99% of the people, they're going to join the lower species of life, unless they get some opportunity to engage in devotional service. And if you don't believe me, I mean, how many trees are there in Slovenia? Now, that's just trees. How many other living entities are there? And where do they all come from? They were also, in previous lives, they were human beings. And they were having trying to have a good time also. And now they came back to Slovenia, pious country, but they came back as trees or ants or other kind of living entities. I guess trees are the, make up a big part of Slovenia, doesn't it? A lot of trees here. But of course there's a lot of ants, there's a lot of worms and butterflies and all kinds of things. So those are the people who didn't take seriously any elevation in consciousness. You don't, they were actually, they started out, everyone starts out in little goodness, and then as the ages progress, they wind up in more passion, and gradually passion produces ignorance, and the ignorance brings one back to the lower species of life. So there's like a trend downward all the time, and the only thing keeping one from going down is a little effort to go up, a little bit of an effort. But the illusory energy is such that it's very hard for any of us to take it seriously, the effort to go up. It takes an effort to go up. To go down is easy because everyone else is going down. There's so much social pressure to go to become an animal. And especially now, you can see, previously, for instance, if you look at the devotional movies we have, like Sita's Wedding, Nimai Nitai, Nimal of Nadia. You've seen that? Sita's Wedding, have you seen that? Really? Did you see any devotional movies? Yeah, they're devotional. The previous movies coming out of India were very devotional. Just like the previous, when you grow up, did you watch television?
Also.
But they were rather innocent, weren't the programs, comparatively? You know, and some of them were even educational. But I haven't watched television in a long time. I don't know what's on. So one time I went over, I had a yoga teacher, that was like 15 years ago or something, so we had to get something over at her house, we went over there, and her son was watching a television program, and it wasn't very sattvic, especially, but previously, nowadays, compared to the movies that used to be, the devotional movies, like in India, or even Prabhupada watch, for instance, Charlie Chaplin. They're rather innocent. You know, and even they had some purpose behind them, some moral behind them. But nowadays, it's the devil that wins. It's the villain who's the hero. And they're filled with all kinds of sin. They're just filled one moment after another with sinful activities. And they're just trying to become, there's like a contest, who could become more degraded. So So it means that the mode of ignorance is increasing. And therefore, as Prabhupada said, they've polluted the air, they polluted the water, they polluted the food, they polluted the ether, and therefore there has to be war. And of the grossest killing, of course, we know the killing of the cow is what leads to all this, all the degradation. The beginning of the whole slide into the mode of ignorance begins with killing cows. Because cows are the basis of economic development. And if one doesn't understand the value of the cow and the bull, and instead kills and eats them, then one's left with nothing more than sinful activities. Makes the whole society very, very complicated. And of course they're absorbed in love for their complication. They think that to go back to a simple life is abominable because they don't understand, because their whole life is just filled with sinful sense gratification. They think life is meant for just enjoying the senses. And they think that people are trying to take that, the leaders of society are trying to take that away from them, their sense gratification, and leave them with living a simple life. Because they think they don't know about higher consciousness. They only think that sense gratification is the goal of life. If they take that away, they have nothing to live for. But if people understood about higher consciousness, if they actually experienced higher consciousness, then they would actually welcome sinful life. Because simple life and higher consciousness go very well together. And if they actually get higher and higher experience, higher and higher consciousness, then they won't mind simple life. But if they don't get higher consciousness, and all they get is simple life without sense gratification, they think it's abominable. They think it's horrible. Because they don't realize that even simple life, actual simple life, gives one an opportunity to become more receptive to higher consciousness. But in itself, it's not sufficient. So the question is, whether or not the Hare Krishna movement is going to be able to present simple life, but at the same time effectively give people a higher consciousness. Probably call that a cultural revolution. That you don't need to spend $1 billion on a movie in order to have culture. Previously, people used to be expert at oration and dance and music. They didn't spend billions of dollars on it. They were expert in some kind of culture. But nowadays, just think about all the money they spend on this music. And what kind of music do they come out with? Even the cat screaming in the night finds the music rather disturbing. People with, screaming at the top of their lungs, some nonsense, that, and people's gyrating, like a top. They think that's culture. But actually, if there is real culture, refined culture, then the music, the art, the dance, the sculpture, the buildings actually become very beautiful and aesthetically pleasing. The air becomes pure, the food becomes pure, people's minds become pure. Everything becomes pure and people actually can enjoy on a higher platform, even on the mode of goodness. Otherwise, they're actually suffering as the mode of ignorance and passion increase. And therefore there's some purification that goes on. It's actually beneficial. But of course there are leaders who want to purify them, don't want to purify them to come to any kind of higher culture. They just want to eliminate them. So that's not very good either. But anyhow, this is how modes of material nature work. From ignorance comes more ignorance. Destruction. But this destruction is just making way for the golden age of Kali Yuga, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Although those who are propagating it and trying to make the great reset, they don't realize that they're also instruments for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That they're also essential ingredients to simplify things so that the real culture of Krishna consciousness can manifest itself and the golden age can start for the next 10,000 years. And in the meantime, we don't have to worry about anything. We just have to worry about becoming Krishna conscious ourselves, because there's not much more we can do. People are going to go out and protest. But they don't realize that they themselves they think that they're victims, but also they're responsible for their condition, for the condition of the planet, for the condition of other people's consciousness, for the condition of their own consciousness, because they don't have any knowledge. And we're also responsible, because it's our responsibility to give people knowledge. Give them this literature, give them the holy name, give them prasadam, give them an example of how you can be happy, how you can own nothing and be happy. So, we have that opportunity. Of course, we can own things, but we shouldn't have, we can so-called own things, but we understand everything belongs to Krishna. So even when Krishna gives us something, because Krishna can give us something, he's not a miser. He has unlimited energy. So he gives his devotees, but the devotees understand that this was given to me simply to utilize in Krishna's service. So let me use it in Krishna's service. And at the end, Krishna will take it back. When I'm leaving this body, I don't have to take anything with me, nor could I take anything with me. It's all going to stay here. And we should be, we should develop the idea of using things in Krishna's service. But if he gives us a lot, we can use a lot. If he gives us a little, we can use a little. But at least we should expect that he'll probably give us some prasadam and a place to sleep and some service, and that's, we should be happy with that. And everything else is whatever Krishna decides. Of course, even that, Krishna decides. And we stay in the mode of Krishna consciousness and the mode of goodness, then Krishna will take care of us. And whatever else happens externally outside, that's up to Krishna. But he has a plan. He's not acting. He's not doing anything whimsically. He's doing it for his purpose. And that's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hi, Shmada. You said that we should trust Krishna, that he's not going to do anything whimsical, and basically we're both try to get a great place. We should be in the mode of goodness, and that Krishna will take care.
Carry what right we lack, yeah, and preserve what we have.
So the question is how do we know what we are supposed to do and what Krishna is the rest?
How do we know? We have to read Prabhupada's books and hear from those who have understood what Prabhupada has said. What does he want us to do? He wants us to chant Hare Krishna. He wants us to utilize our energies in the Sankirtan movement. He wants us to follow four yoga principles. He wants us to wash our hands before we take prasadam. So many things. It's all there in Prabhupada's books and his lectures. Krishna wants us. And if we think about it, and we ask Krishna, what do you want me to do? He will give us some intelligence. He tells us what to say. Anuvega karam vakyam satvam priyitam chaya svarya vyasanam chaiva vangmana tapujite. Austerity of speech means to say things which are truthful, which are pleasing, which are beneficial, which are scriptural, which don't agitate the minds of others. So Krishna tells us what he wants us to speak, how he wants us to think. Manat prasadam samyatvam monam atma vinigraha bhava samshidhi yeta tamo mana samuchate. Austerity of the mind means to say to manat prasadam, to be satisfied. Samya, to be with equanimity. Monam, to be grave. Monam atma vinigraha, to be determined. Atma vinigraha. That's the 17th chapter. Atma vinigraha, controlled mind. Bhava is pure mind. So Krishna tells us what we should do with our mind, what we should do with our words, what we should do with our body. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam sochamarjavam brahmacharya himsam cha shriyam tapuchate. Austerity of the body means deva, worship of the demigods and the Supreme Lord, worship of the Supreme Deva dvija, the Brahmins, guru pragya, the guru and the learned person. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam, worship of them. Pujam socham, cleanliness, arjavam, simplicity, brahmacharyam and celibacy. So these are austerities of the body in the mode of goodness. So many things to do. And if we read Prabhupada's books, then we'll enough, then we'll remember these things. Anything else? Kala Granthara Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.